Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Sefer Torah, Perek Zayin. After completing the halachot of tefillin and mezuzah, and the details of writing stam in general, the Rambam moves in these last four prakim to the laws specific to a Sefer Torah. This perek discusses the mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, and explains details of how to write it which were not relevant for tefillin and mezuzah. There are actually two mitzvot of writing a Sefer Torah, the last two of the five mitzvot in the set of halachot. One relates to every Jewish male, and one relates specifically to the king, as the Rambam will explain in the first two halachot of the perek. Halacha Aleph. Mitzvat aseh al kol ish v'ish miYisrael lichtov sefer Torah le'atzmo, shnemar ve'ata kitvu lachem et ha'shira hazot, klamar kitvu et ha'Torah sheyesh ba'shira zo, v'fi she'ein kotvin et ha'Torah parashiot parashiot. Va'af al pi shehinichu lo la'adam avotav sefer Torah, mitzvah lichtov mishalo, v'im kitavo b'yado, harehu ki'ilu kiblo misinai, v'im eino yodea lichtov, acherim kotvin lo, v'chol ha'magia b'sefer Torah afilu otach. There is a mitzvah on every Jewish male to write a Sefer Torah, based on the pasuk in Parshat Vayelech of Kitvu lachem et ha'shira hazot. The shira here refers to shirat hazinu, but as we do not write just a small part of the Torah by itself, the intent of the pasuk is that there is a mitzvah to write the entire Torah. Even if one inherits a Sefer Torah from an ancestor, he still has a mitzvah to write one himself, and once he does so, it is considered as if he received the Torah himself from Har Sinai. If he cannot write himself, then he must find someone to write one for him, and even one who writes or corrects one letter in a Sefer Torah is considered to have written the entire Sefer and fulfills this mitzvah. The Rama adds that one is not yotzei this mitzvah by purchasing a pre-written Sefer Torah. The Shulchan Aruch quotes and accepts the opinion of the Rush, that since the point of this mitzvah is for the person to learn Torah from the Sefer he writes, and nowadays we do not learn Torah from a Sefer Torah, but rather from Chumashim, Mishnah, and Gemara, this mitzvah is fulfilled nowadays by purchasing these and other Sfarim in order to learn from them. Does the Rush think that this supplants or only supplements the original mitzvah to write an actual Sefer Torah? The Shach believes that it supplants it entirely, so there is no longer any obligation to write a Sefer Torah, while the Taz accepts the view of the Beit Yosef that it supplements the original mitzvah, and so nowadays one is obligated to do both. The general custom is to rely on the Shach, though many do at some point in their lives hire a sofer to write a Sefer Torah and fill in a single letter in order to fulfill this mitzvah in its original form. The Rambam makes no mention of other Sfarim, and seems to disagree with the Rush. We'll see in Perek Tet that he not only wrote, but assembled his own Sefer Torah, including cutting and sewing together the sheets of parchment. It may be that he rejects the entire assumption of the Rush, that the point of this mitzvah is to learn from the Sefer Torah that one writes. From the line, Hareyu ki'ilu kiblo misinai, it sounds like the point of the mitzvah is to reenact the experience of Kabbalat HaTorah on a personal, individual level, and to connect oneself to the experience of Ma'amad Har Sinai. The Rambam limits this mitzvah to men, al kol ish v'ish, which makes sense according to the approach of the Rush, that the point of this mitzvah is to learn from the Sefer Torah, as only men are obligated in Talmud Torah. This is indeed how the Sefer Achinuch explains why this mitzvah is limited to men. But the Shagat Aryeh has difficulty accepting this conclusion without a clear source in Chazal, as this is not a mitzvah d'asei shazman grama, from which women are generally exempt. And if the Rambam, as we suggested, doesn't see the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah as rooted in learning Torah, then this exemption of women is especially difficult to understand. The Minchat Chinuch suggests that the mitzvah is not just to write the text of the Torah, but rather a Sefer Torah, written according to the rules of Stam and possessing the full Kedusha of a Sefer Torah. As the woman cannot do this because she is disqualified from writing Stam, as we saw in Perek Aleph, this mitzvah cannot apply to her at all. This approach makes sense in the Rambam, as this perek continues after discussing the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah to elaborate the details of how it must be written in order to have the full kedusha of a Sefer Torah. Halacha Bet. Hamelech mitzuveh lichtov Sefer Torah acher la'atzmo l'shem hamelech, yater al Sefer shayalo kishuhediot, shnemar v'haya cheshivto al kisei mamachto v'chatav lo, umagihinoto mi Sefer ha'azara al pi beitin agadol. זה שהיה לו כשהוא הדיוט, מניחו בבית כנזב, וזה שכתב או שנכתב לו אחר שמלך, יהיה אמו תמיד. אם יצא למלחמה, ספר תורה זה אמו. נכנס והוא אמו, ישב בדין והוא אמו. מסי והוא כנגדו, שנאמר, והייתה אמו, וקרבו כל ימי חייו. The king is obligated to have a second Sefer Torah, which he writes after becoming king. The Sefer Torah he had from before, if he had one before, is placed in storage, and the second one remains with the king at all times, when he goes out to war and when he returns, and when he sits to eat or to act as a judge. Only when using the bathroom or bathing, and when going to sleep, does the Sefer Torah leave his side. In Halacha Gimel, the Rambam clarifies that if the king didn't write a Sefer Torah before becoming king, then he writes two, one of which goes into storage, and one of which stays with him at all times. From Halacha Dalid through Halacha Chet, the Rambam lists many details collected from the Gemara relating to how a Sefer Torah must be written. We'll summarize these outside. As we saw in Perek Aleph, a Sefer Torah must be written with sirtut, lines etched into the parchment to ensure that the text written above them or below them is straight, and that lines of text are parallel and easy to read. We saw in Perek Aleph that a Sefer Torah can be written on gevil or on klaf, two kinds of parchment we discussed there. But the Rambam clarifies here that it must be written entirely on one of these two materials, and not a combination of gevil and klaf sewn together. Between words of a Sefer Torah, the sofer must leave a space the size of a small letter, and between lines, he must leave a space equivalent to a line of text. The length of each line should be the equivalent of 30 letters, including spaces, and hence this is the width of every column of text in the Torah, with a couple of exceptions we'll encounter in Perek Tet. If it is shorter than this, the Sefer Torah resembles an igeret, a letter one would write and send to another person. And if it is longer than this, it becomes difficult after reading to the end of a line to find the beginning of the next line. In Halacha Yud, the Rambam adds that the custom is for each column to have between 48 and 60 lines, and to leave a space equivalent to 9 letters between paragraphs. What if the sofer doesn't have room within the borders of a column of text to complete a word at the end of a line? Can he write part of the word outside the column? The rule laid down by the Rambam is that if at least half the word can be written within the column, then he may write the word there, even though part of it, no more than half, continues outside the column. But if the remaining space in the column is less than 3 letters, then in any event, even if the word is very short, he should leave the space blank and write the word in the next line. Between each chumash and the next one, the sofer should leave 4 blank lines and begin the next chumash on the 5th line. The last words of Chumash Devarim, Leinei Kol Yisrael, which end the Torah, should be written in the middle of a line at the bottom of the last column, even if getting these words to the bottom requires making the lines of the last column shorter than those of other columns. The sofer must be careful to follow the traditions of how letters are written, including special letters which are written larger or smaller than others, or with dots on top of them. We've already discussed tagim in the context of tefillin and mezuzah, and throughout the Sefer Torah as well, there are letters which require tagim, some a single crown, and others as many as 7. As we mentioned, the Shulchan Aruch gives more objective rules for tagim. Each of the 7 letters of the acronym Shatnez Getz, Shin Ayin Tet, Nun Zayin Gimel Tzadi, is adorned with 3 tagim, and some add a single tag to each of the 6 letters Badak Chaya, Bet Dalet Kuf, Chet Yud Hey. Halacha Tet. Kol hadvarim ha'elu lo nemru ela lemitzvah min hamuvchar. Vim shina betikun ze o shelo dikdek batagin v'chatav otiyot kulan kitiknan o shekerevet hashitin o hirchikan o herich behen o kitzran ho'il v'lo hidbik ot la'ot v'lo chiser v'lo hotir v'lo hifsid tzurat ot achat v'lo shina biftuchot ustumot harei ze sefer kasher. All of these details are part of the hidur involved in writing a Sefer Torah in the ideal manner. But the Sefer Torah is valid even if the lines are longer or shorter than they should be, and even if the spacing between the lines is less or more than stated here. 4 critical conditions which are necessary for the Sefer Torah to be kosher are: every letter is written in its correct form, there are no superfluous or missing letters, each letter is mukaf gevil and no 2 touch each other, and finally, each parsha is written in whichever of the 2 forms of ptucha or stuma is appropriate for that specific parsha. More details on that concept in the next parak. In Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam adds 3 more situations to this list of when a Sefer Torah is invalid. The first is if a vowelization, which is supposed to be malay, is written chaser or vice versa. We discussed malay and chaser in Perek Bet. The second involves words for which there are separate kri and ktiv forms. That is, the word is pronounced differently from how it is written, occasionally as a different word altogether. If such a word is written the way it is pronounced and not as it is supposed to be written, this too invalidates the Sefer Torah. Finally, there is a special format for writing the two songs of Shirat Hayam and Hazinu, different from the usual format of the rest of the text. If one of them is written in the format of the regular text, or if regular text is written in the form of one of these Shirot, then the Sefer Torah is again Pasul. The Rambam ends Halacha Yud Aleph by saying about any of these invalid Sefer Torah we just described, Harei ze pasul ve'ein bo kedushat sefer Torah klal, ela kechumash mino chumashin shemlamdin bahen hatinokot. This sefer lacks the special kedusha belonging to a sefer Torah. We'll see in Perek Yud what exactly are the ramifications of the special kedusha of a sefer Torah, and are the equivalent of a chumash, that is, the text of a single one of the five chumashim written on its own to use for teaching children. In Halacha Yud Bet and Yud Gimel, the Rambam discusses correcting a Sefer Torah which contains many mistakes. A Sefer with even one mistake cannot be used for Kriyat HaTorah B'Tzibur. But what about just holding onto it without using it in this manner? The Gemara learns from the Pasuk in Iyov of Al Tashken Ba'olecha Avla, don't maintain a travesty in your tent, that one may not even hold on to a Sefer with mistakes in it for more than 30 days, and must either correct the mistakes or put the Sefer in Geniza. Rishonim extend this conclusion to other Sfarim as well, like Gemara and Sifrei Halacha. If a Sefer Torah has up to three mistakes in each column, these may be corrected. But if it has four in each column, then it should go straight into Geniza, as making so many corrections would make the Sefer Torah look sloppy and ugly. But if the mistakes are extra letters which need to be erased, then the Sefer can be fixed even if there are many such mistakes, as erasing without rewriting doesn't make the Sefer look ugly. Halacha Yud Dalet. Mutar lichtova Torah chumash chumash, kol chumash bifnei atzmo, ve'ein behen kedushat sefer Torah hatam, aval lo yichtov megillah bifnei atzma, sheyeh ba parshiot, ve'ein kotvin megillah latinok litlamed ba, v'im da'ato lahashlim aleha chumash, mutar. Katav megillah shalosh shalosh tevot b'shita achat, mutar. A single chumash, like Sefer Bereshit or Sefer Shmot, can be written on its own in the manner of a Sefer Torah, and it doesn't have the kedusha of a full Sefer Torah, with all the ramifications that we'll learn in Perek Yud. The Shulchan Aruch, after quoting the Rambam, brings the opinion of the Rashba that a chumash written in this manner has the full kedusha of a Sefer Torah, but cannot be used for Kriyat HaTorah B'Tzibur only because this reflects a lack of Kvod HaTzibur, as we discussed in Hilchot Tefillah, Perek Yud Bet. The Rambam says that one may not write part of a chumash unless he plans to complete it into an entire chumash, or unless he writes it in a strange manner of three or fewer words per line. In practice, we are not careful about this at all, and we write individual parshiot without reservation, including parshiot that are printed in sidurim, like those of Kriyat Shema and other parts of Tefillah, as well as Kriyat HaTorah for different weekdays and Yamim Tovim. Rishonim from as early as the Rif allowed this, and the explanation was based on the principle of Eit Lasot Lashem Heferu Toratecha. The consequence of maintaining this strict approach not to write any parsha except in the context of a full chumash would be a drastic decline in learning and teaching Torah, as not everyone in early times could afford a full chumash. This leniency continues even today, despite the low cost of printing on a mass scale. Just as one may write a single chumash, the Rambam goes on in Halacha Tetvav to say that one may write an entire Tanakh in one volume, and this too does not have the kedusha of a Sefer Torah written alone, but rather that of a chumash. Even though adding the texts of Nach to a Sefer Torah reduces its kedusha, this is nonetheless permitted, because one must leave some blank lines between the different books. This allows for the possibility of later separating the books by cutting between them, and restoring to the Sefer Torah its full kedusha. Halacha Ted Zayin. Kol kifei HaKodesh, ein kotvinotam ela besirtut, afilu ketavan al haniyar, umutar lichtov shalosh tevot belo sirtut, yater al ze asur. The Rambam ends the perek with a second halacha about sirtut. Not only does a Sefer Torah and mezuzah require sirtut below every line to keep the writing straight, every time one writes more than three words from anywhere in Tanakh, even on paper, it must be done with sirtut. As it applies even when writing just a few words, this form of sirtut doesn't seem to have anything to do with keeping the line straight, but rather a way of showing respect to the words being written. The Shulchan Aruch and the Rama limit this halacha in several ways. First, it only applies when writing in Ktav Ashuri, that is, the print Hebrew letters, as written in a Sefer Torah, not the script Hebrew lettering that we typically use when writing by hand. The requirement of Sirtut doesn't apply when quoting a pasuk in the context of a friendly greeting, as in a letter. Even in a text which quotes psukim in several places, the Rama rules that a single line of sirtut at the top of the text is sufficient. This is not the case at all in writing a Sefer Torah or mezuzah. Finally, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that the lines already printed on lined paper commonly used nowadays fulfill the requirement of sirtut. Though I haven't seen any discussion of sirtut when writing psukim on a computer screen, I assume that the rationale of the Aruch HaShulchan would apply to the straight lines automatically produced by any word processor, and would consider them to fulfill the requirement of sirtut as well. Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishneh Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.